goals galore, records broken across Europe, and history made. It was quite a start to match day two of this season's UEFA Champions League. The league phase is starting to take shape, and three clubs have now made it 6 points out of a possible six. We'll review it all on the official podcast, and we'll look ahead to nine more big European fixtures on Wednesday. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott, and good evening as well to Alvaro Romeo and Richard Kaufman, who joined me after they watched Chelsea against Benfica at Stamford Bridge. Much more on that and all of the details about what we've witnessed tonight. 33 goals scored across the nine matches. Extraordinary stuff. And Alvaro, as we speak, Galatasaray are bouncing on the pitch in Istanbul, having just seen off Liverpool. We are seeing this season, second year of the league phase. It feels like, anyway, we've had three nights now, everybody really going at it from the off.
Yeah, and teams like Galatasaray, for example, making amendments. They lost the first game, and they were playing as the Turkish champions against Liverpool, the English champions. And they won this game. And Victor Osimhen scored a goal, and I think that this is very good for their reputation and their self-esteem as well. Not everyone beats Liverpool. Not everyone beats Liverpool leaving a clean sheet. So congratulations to them. This is very important for Galatasaray, really.
Richard, last season, 11 points for a spot in the top 24, which means you extend your European season. 16 to finish in the top 8 and go straight through to the round of 16. It's a small data sample, yes. But for the three teams who are on 6 points, Bayern, Real Madrid and Inter, they are sitting pretty nicely placed, albeit very early.
Yeah, as Bon Jovi sang, we're halfway there, I suppose, in terms of qualification for the next stage of the UEFA Champions League. It's terrific to get those 6 points under the belt, and for teams like Galatasaray, who you've mentioned, you know, to get those first 3 points as well is a step in the right direction. With a scalp along the way as well, that added confidence. You know, Tottenham have got 4 points now as well, thanks to, you know, a fine comeback for them tonight as well. So, yeah, some teams tonight have made some good progress. Nothing guaranteed right now, but, yeah, some good progress from a number of clubs.
Let's start, actually, in that match, in the far north of Europe, in the Arctic Circle. Bodo Glimt, who have been this club, Alvaro, have made such amazing strides, including in European competition, not just domestically. Their first home game in the Champions League proper, 2-0 up, two really brilliant goals from a player who was with them, went to the lights of the San Siro and AC Milan, came back to Bodo Glimt and scored two brilliant goals after they'd actually missed a penalty. But Jens Petter Haga didn't end up on the winning team. Showed all the quality that he has to put Bodo Glimt 2-0 up.
Yeah, and really, this is a team that has been knocking on the door for a while. I mean, across the European competitions, Conference League, Europa League, Champions League, they belong to Champions League now, and getting a draw against Tottenham is something quite special. They could have won the game, they didn't win it, at some point they were 2-0. That 2-0 advantage didn't last long because Spurs, Tottenham cut the deficit to 2-1 very quickly. But for me, this is the player of the weekend, probably. I mean, I know that Kylian Mbappé has scored a hat-trick. I know that Victor Osimhen has scored a beautiful winning goal for Galatasaray. But this is different. I mean, these are the first goals of Bodo Glimt in this competition. So Hawk deserves a lot of credit.
An own goal in the end, nothing that Gundogan could do. Was Tottenham's saviour in a way. That was in the 89th minute, so Thomas Frank and his team showing all of their battling qualities to come back from 2-0 away from home in Europe. We've mentioned that Galatasaray beat Liverpool tonight. That was the last game that finished. They're still on the pitch in Istanbul, and nobody has left.
Of course.
It's very late right now in Turkey, but you mentioned it. You look at the names who began this match for Galatasaray tonight. Osimhen up front, Gundogan, Torreira in midfield, Davinson Sanchez at centre back. There is a lot of experience there, but Orkan Buruk, having been beaten at Frankfurt, you know, fairly comfortably on match day one. I mean, this is a major result for them, and you mentioned it, not just the 3 points, the belief now, if you can beat Liverpool, well, they're not going to be scared of anybody.
No, this is a totally new landscape for Galatasaray. I would say this is the thing. I mean, after winning a game like this, suddenly you end up having the belief that you can win more games of this quality, and believe me, they will have to play against rivals of this quality during the league phase as well. But, you know, there are positives to take. I mean, the clean sheet, as I said before, and also I think that last season prepared Galatasaray for what they are playing now. It was a difficult battle to win the league. I mean, they won it at the end, just showing a lot of quality, composure, and a great defensive record against the Fenerbahce or Jose Mourinho, for instance. And I think that last season prepared Galatasaray to be good for this season.
Gents, you commentated on Chelsea 1, Benfica 0. We'll get into that later in more details. I just want to touch on another couple of results. Inter, last season's beaten finalists, beating Slavia Praha by 3-0. And Lautaro Martinez, who we have all, I think, enjoyed watching in this competition, scoring again and scoring now in 7 seasons for Inter in this competition. No one in that club's storied history has ever done that. I mean, that is some achievement for longevity right at the top of the game.
Yeah, and El Toro is a striker who is at the peak of his power. I think that he offers Inter all the mobility that sometimes the team needs. A striker who is up front, who is very mobile. He is quite clinical, becoming more clinical as the years go by. And there is one thing about Inter that I have to remark as well. I remember that last season, until the semi-finals at least, and then the final was a bad story for them, they were barely conceding goals in the Champions League. This season is the same thing. This season they have conceded only 0 goals in the league phase. Last season I believe, and I'm talking out of my memory, that they conceded only 2 goals in the league phase.
It was something.
A remarkable defense.
Remarkable, particularly when you have Martinez, who got 2 tonight, and Denzel Dumfries. Richard, I mean, I know you've watched him throughout his career, really, including in the Netherlands where he came through. As we saw, I mean, great defender. Going forward, there aren't many better fullbacks or wingbacks than him.
No, very dangerous, and I think it's part of the modern game, isn't it? The fullbacks now are very much part of the offensive play as well as the work at the back. And you look at the teams up there with those maximum points. You know, Bayern München today, another big win for them. They beat Chelsea, who we watched tonight at Stamford Bridge. Inter, who you're talking about there, and Real Madrid. I think what we also have seen from tonight's action in all the games, you mentioned the number of goals there's been, is that this portion of the league phase, teams aren't going for it. We saw it in the match that we were commentating on tonight. You know, it got really end-to-end at times. Both teams really wanted to go out there, if they could, to win the match, because in the situation in the match that we were commentating on, they both lost those opening games as well. So much for everyone to play for. And as a result, I think we're seeing fairly offensive football, which, you know, supporters and as watchers of the UEFA Champions League, we want to see.
By the way, Inter last season conceded only 1 goal in the league phase.
However,
only 1 goal.
That's not bad. But I mean, 1 or 2. Astonishing.
Yeah. Incredible. Because they played against Arsenal, against Manchester City. Today, Inter played again. 0 goals conceded. It's a great defence, really.
So, they were 3-0 winners. Atletico, who had a wonderful Madrid derby win domestically, 5-1 winners at home to Eintracht Frankfurt. You know, this is a team under Diego Simeone who, you know, Alvarez, Griezmann, Raspadori, who scored tonight.
Yeah.
They're playing some seriously entertaining football, Alvarez.
And they've got quality up front as well. Nico Gonzalez brings the creative spark. They've got Thiago Almada, who's a player who will finally settle in. I'm pretty sure about that. Sorloth offers the aerial power that the team needs sometimes. And, you know, there is a player that I want to talk about, because he's not the son of Diego Simeone. He is on his own Giuliano Simeone, okay? Yeah. He's energetic. He's really astute. I mean, not being the fastest, he manages to get the better of any fullback. His workload is incredible. And he's starting to provide assists as well. And he's a decent scorer too. I predict that this player will have a great future.
Match day three, Arsenal against Atleti. That is a seriously good game to look forward to. I'm looking through the screen at our producers. That may be a commentary match on Match Day Live.
Are you picking already?
No, I don't have the power to do that. And there are lots of fixtures to talk about. Just quickly before we move on, Antoine Griezmann now has 200 goals for Atletico. He was already the club's record goal scorer. So the first man in the history of that football club, great football club, to reach 200 goals. And he celebrated with a shirt with his name and 200 on the back. What a footballer he has been for Atleti. So 5-1 winners against Frankfurt. Another big result, Marseille beating Ajax by 4-0. And a great night, Richard, for Igor Paixão. Who scored his first goal, signed from Ajax's eternal rivals Feyenoord, and of course, therefore, his first goals for the club came against Ajax.
Yeah, no, he's a super player. He likes to cut in from that left-hand side, and dangerous on the wing or up front as well. That versatility he's got, and it's important, isn't it? Because for Atletico Madrid, for Marseille, they lost on match day one. We've talked about, you lose two matches, suddenly the pressure's on match day three. I'm not saying that there won't be pressure on match day three, but it just increases, doesn't it, the longer you only pick up a point or no points from those first two games. So to not only get 3 points, but for both those teams to get big wins as well, a real fillip at this stage.
Mason Greenwood's made it 3-0, by the way, before half-time, after Paixão's two goals, and then Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang added a fourth. And if we're talking about teams who play attacking football, they were very good at the Bernabeu, even in defeat on match day one. Roberto De Zerbi's Marseille are perhaps a team to watch in the league phase. Certainly they are, the way they go about their
definitely
business.
Definitely a team to watch.
Yeah.
I love watching it. And De Zerbi's a fabulous manager, and that's the way he loves to see his teams set up, isn't it, really, Alvaro? And, tonight there was more of that with the four goals they put away.
Absolutely, and I want to single out Aubameyang as well. He's the top scorer of Europa League history, and he's scoring in the Champions League. He was born in 1989, I believe, so he must be 35 or 36 years old, and he still keeps that composure in front of goal that has made him such a famous striker. And then, from that game at Santiago Bernabeu, I think that Marseille deserved even a bit more. Kondogbia was sensational that day against Real Madrid. And, 3 points for them after two games, I think that they'll be moderately happy.
The last game of the late kickoffs on Tuesday to talk about, Paphos 1, Bayern 5. First ever home game in the Champions League for Paphos, that the Cypriot champions only formed around a decade ago. And Harry Kane scoring two more goals. Rafa Guerreiro, Nicholas Jackson and Michael Olise. Just to further Richard's point about teams playing attacking football in the UEFA Champions League this season. But Kane, in particular, he's got nicknames now in Germany about how many hat-tricks he's scoring. He has gone to a giant football club and is being universally loved by the Bayern supporters, and no wonder.
Absolutely. Because he is dominant, he scored the goals, he is likeable, I would say. Certainly a player who looks honest on the pitch, and he has brought Bayern all the goals that Lewandowski gave them like 4-3 years ago. Bayern went through a period in which they didn't play with a very dominant number 9, and now they got Harry Kane, and it's been a great addition to the team. What can I say about Harry Kane that we don't know? By the way, Orsic scored for Paphos as well, we have to say that. A footballer who has had like a career that went outside of the norm, because he played in Korea. He also played everywhere in Europe, and he managed to score over 25 goals with Dinamo Zagreb in Europe, which is quite an achievement, in my opinion. And he scored today against Bayern, so congratulations to him as well.
Yeah, Paphos beaten, but they did have a goal to celebrate on their home debut in the Champions League. More on the early games later, by the way. Atalanta beat Club Brugge by 2-1, and Karat Almaty were beaten 5-0 at home by Real Madrid. But next to Stamford Bridge, the build-up was, of course, all about Jose Mourinho as he marked his return to the Champions League with Benfica and returned to a club where he made so much history and holds legendary status. Alvaro and Richard watched this for Match Day Live.
Rios over the halfway line. He's got Luca Bacchio to his right. That's who he finds. The Belgian inside the area. Gives it to Rios. Didn't get hold of it. What an opportunity. He was right by the penalty spot. Brilliant ball across. Garnacho puts it across. And it's into his own net by Richard Rios. And Chelsea take the lead through an own goal. Pedro Neto at the heart of it. Garnacho with the first time ball across. And there was nothing the Colombian could do, really. Blue shirts swarming forward. Chelsea trying to find a killer second goal. Out to the left-hand side to Gittins. He's got Cucurella for support. Comes in field to Enzo Fernandez. Chips it forward, headed and tipped up by the goalkeeper.
Only one goal, but as Alvaro and Richard have alluded to, really open, entertaining game. And Enzo Maresca will be delighted to walk away with the 3 points. Terrific bit of quality from Pedro Neto and Alejandro Garnacho ultimately, Richard, led to that own goal, which was the difference.
Yeah, you kind of feel like for Jose Mourinho and Benfica, there's enough positives in that match to feel, okay, there's something we can build on there. He wasn't in charge when they lost on match day one to Karabakh, a game they would have been expected to win tonight, not so. From Chelsea, it was a really important match. They've been in some poor domestic form. They'd only won one match in their last five, and this really was a hard-fought victory. It was a match very much in the balance. Even before that goal went in, there were chances at both ends of the pitch. A little bit of fortune about the way they got it, albeit Pedro Neto was superb down that right-hand side and Garnacho put a dangerous ball in. You feel for Richard Rios in terms of that was what proved to be the winner. Chelsea did have chances after that before half-time to double their lead. And then the second half, both teams were still going for it, but neither goalkeeper really tested as much as they would like. There were kind of half chances that didn't quite amount to as much as you felt when the teams were going forward. And in the end, Chelsea stayed resolute at the back. They did have a sending off right at the end, albeit it was in the last seconds, and three really important points.
And probably a difficult situation for Benfica from now on, because they lost to Karabakh in match day one. But yeah, I would like to talk about Pedro Neto. In the first half, he wanted the ball to the point of desperation sometimes. He was waving to the rest of the players to give it to him, because when he got it, he was doing things. He was taking on Dal most of the times, winning the duel with him, sending powerful crosses, very clever ones. Then he saw during the whole game that strength to not only to win your duel, but after you lose the ball or after the opponent gets the ball, to have the energy to fight for it again. I mean, to do the counter pressure and all that. I mean, I was very impressed by him. Then Garnacho obviously had a good moment when he manages to provoke the goal for Chelsea, and he saw the importance of going to the second post and attacking the second post. Every winger should do it. And then for Benfica, I think that the game was a little bit too short. They wish they had had five more minutes, because they were in a positive dynamic when the game was over. But, you know, they had many half chances. They had to improve a little bit their execution in the final third. That didn't happen for them, and that's why they didn't win it.
Jose Mourinho got a great reception. His name was sung by the Chelsea supporters. His team were beaten, but here is their midfielder, Fredrik Arsnes.
He was against a good opponent, and we always believed that we could come back. I think Chelsea started best and got 1-0, but we came more and more in the game, and in the second half I think we growed a lot and we pressed a little bit higher. So we believed that we could come back, and we almost did a couple of times. Maybe I could score and do better at some chances, but in the end was not enough.
Fredrik Arsnes, the Benfica midfielder, after they were beaten at Chelsea. Still to come on this podcast, we're going to preview Wednesday's games. Nine more matches, of course, but next we will look at Tuesday's two early kickoffs.
Take control of your own team of stars with UEFA Champions League Fantasy Football, presented by PlayStation. With incredible prizes up for grabs every match day, download the official Champions League app to get playing.
Well, I mentioned the scores earlier on. Here's how it happened as Club Brugge faced Atalanta in Bergamo and Kairat Almaty welcomed the 15-time champions Real Madrid to Kazakhstan.
Mbappe scored this one, emphatically put away by Kylian Mbappe as Mbappe streaks through and clips the ball over Calberta. Clinical. And Real Madrid have daylight in Almaty. Rodrigo glides through the challenges. There's Mbappe! There's the hat-trick! He's got all three that Real Madrid have put into the Kairat net. Rodrigo, he's beaten Sonokin. It's Camavinga, and it's four! It's Bellingham helping it on for Gonzalo Garcia. Now it's Brahim Diaz! And Madrid have five! Greeted with near silence right around the stadium. Solis. And he has punished the Atalanta era. Christos Solis fires Club Brugge in front brilliantly. It is Lazar Smardzic taking the responsibility for Atalanta. And he coolly and calmly converts to level things up. Clipped in by Smardzic, helped on!
Yeah, super win for Atalanta at home to Club Brugge. Two very late goals that turned it around. And after their match, their manager Ivan Juric spoke to UEFA's Tommaso Sardella.
Today it was a really tough game because they are a great team and last year they were better than us. And today I think we did a very good game, second half incredible, first half we conceded a goal, but I'm very happy and with my team.
And what was the key to win this game?
I think the second half we start to play with more intensity, with more pressure, moving the ball fast and well. And I think the players, they come from the bench, they played really good.
Yeah, they were beaten by Club Brugge in the knockout phase playoffs last season, Atalanta, but they got the better of the Belgium side, as you heard. Two goals to one for Ivan Juric's team. For Real Madrid, a 5-0 victory and a hat-trick for Kylian Mbappe means he has reached the 60-goal mark in the UEFA Champions League. And here he is speaking about that achievement after the game in Kazakhstan.
I feel proud. Of course, it's an important number. But, of course, there is many, many players in front of me now, so I have to score more goals. But the most important thing is to help the team, to come back with a win. It was important to restart, to win games and to come back with the 3 points in Madrid.
He is only 26, Kylian Mbappe. There are actually only five ahead of him, all Champions League legends in their own right. Raul, Karim Benzema, Robert Lewandowski, Leo Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Well, it was a momentous day in Almaty despite the result. And soaking up the atmosphere from both outside and inside the stadium was our reporter Anton Lisic. I caught up with him after full time to get his reflections on the occasion.
In my opinion, it was a really crazy day for Kazakhstan football, for all supporters, because I came from Astana, it's the capital of Kazakhstan, and everyone, I think, were discussing about this game before, and in airport, in taxi, everywhere, you can hear Real, Kairat, and so on and so on. And in the city, it's crazy that before, I think 10 hours before kickoff, there were like crowd, you know, like near the stadium. And I think it's the most, I would say, interesting, the most, I would say, popular game in the history of Kazakhstan independence, because it's the biggest one, I think.
And when Kylian Mbappe scored, we saw the appreciation from the Kairat fans, clearly loving seeing these global footballing stars in front of their own eyes.
I think first half, it was a really great emotions for everybody, for Kairat players, for supporters, because The start was amazing for Kairat. They could score in the first seconds, and even after 1-0 in first half, the tribunes, or how to say, the fans said like "Молодцы" in Russian. It's like cool, like great result. So for me, every person here in the stadium were really satisfied about the game, about even the result with this 5-0.
Anton, thank you for describing a very special day for Kairat and for Kazakh football.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, brilliant to get that insight from Almaty. Alvaro, Kylian Mbappe. I mean, has he gone up a level? Is that possible? Clearly, he is loving life under Xabi Alonso.
It is possible because it has happened. I mean, when he arrived at Real Madrid, he was a superstar. But it wasn't very clear whether he was the best player of Real Madrid, because there were too many candidates for that. Let's not forget, in the Ballon d'Or 2024, three of the first five were Real Madrid players, Kylian Mbappe included.
They're quite good, aren't they?
They know what they are doing, yeah. And they play pretty well. But right now, I would say that Kylian Mbappe is clearly the most decisive footballer of Real Madrid. He takes most of the shots, he scores most of the goals, and he has been so good for Real Madrid this season. I mean, it's inescapable, and he has scored a hat-trick in the Champions League, one more.
6 points from six as well after that win against Marseille. On Kairat, and we heard from Anton there just what an occasion it was. You could see what it meant, even at full time, kind of the clamour to get, you know, these famous jerseys, the Real Madrid white. They lost the game, but really, you could not have dreamt of a more suitable club to make your home bow against than Los Blancos. Yeah.
With all due respect, this is probably one of the biggest mismatch in Champions League history, right? I mean, you are putting together a team that has won it 15 times and a smaller side. But I believe that what we have heard from our correspondent is beautiful as well. From the very moment he left the airport, he could feel that there was an anticipation for the game 10, 12 hours before the game. That says everything about it.
Shot two of the main roads in Almaty as well. And Anton was telling me I could have spoken to him for half an hour. But it just goes to show, Richard, that, you know, the expansion led to more teams, led to more opportunities in qualifying for more nations. And we've seen that tonight. We've seen Qarabağ win on match day one from Azerbaijan. We've seen Bodo Glimt get a point tonight. We've seen Kairat lose the game, but welcome Real Madrid to Almaty.
And then for them as well, for Almaty, I mean, the test won't come much harder than facing Mbappe and co and Real Madrid. An occasion for everyone who's a supporter of that club and for that nation as well to savour. But you never know, maybe down the road it might have been a special night tonight. There may be something a little more special to come, because they pick up their first point, their first win. You never know, that might be coming in the next few months or so.
We shall see, and if it does, you'll hear it on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live. We're on air every night in the league phase, one commentary per night, but the goals as they go in from all of the late games on every evening. And there are nine more to look forward to on Wednesday. The pick of the bunch is a big one. Barcelona against Paris Saint-Germain, both semi-finalists last season. Paris going on to lift the trophy for the first time. And we can hear from Barca's manager Hansi Flick ahead of a huge game.
We have to work on our match plan, what we want to do. So we have to play like that. And it's always, I say often, it's all about positioning. It's always about this, control the ball. It will be not easy tomorrow because they also love to press. They also, when they have the ball, they know exactly how it works with the ball. So we have to play tomorrow. About from the beginning, from the first second to the end of the match, we have to play on our highest level. So this is Champions League, and this is what we expect from the players.
Hansi Flick there, the return of Luis Enrique to Barcelona as well. It's going to be a very special evening. Alvaro, Richard, there are eight more games. Which one takes your pick.
Well, I'm going to go for a game that most people probably wouldn't be picking out because I just love the story. Azerbaijan has itself a UEFA Champions League winner. They beat Benfica in the last round. And now, and I'm not dismissing FC Copenhagen's chances tomorrow night either. They'll be fancying they can go there tomorrow night and win. But what an opportunity for Karabakh to sit themselves alongside Bayern München and Real Madrid and Internazionale and be one of the teams with 6 points out of six after two matches. What an opportunity for them tomorrow night.
For me, it's Borussia Dortmund, Athletic Club Bilbao.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Coincidentally, yeah.
Can't believe that, can you?
I'm smiling because you were born in the very fine city of Bilbao.
Absolutely.
But we saw San Mamés 2 weeks ago, lost the game against Arsenal. Amazing atmosphere. The game's going to be good.
Yeah, I think so. Probably Dortmund comes as a favourite for this game. I'm not saying that. That is not true. But on the other hand, it's a good opportunity for Athletic Club to, you know, restart again. Hopefully, you know, they will turn the situation around after a few bad results in the Champions League and in La Liga. And it can be astonishing to watch the yellow wall again at Dortmund. So that would be, if they win, if Athletic Club Bilbao wins, that will be probably their most remarkable result in Champions League history for them.
It's going to be some atmosphere as well. Yellow and the reds. And white. Briefly back to Tuesday before we finish, we can hear from Chelsea's victorious manager Enzo Maresca.
The way we manage the ball, the way we create some chances, we score the goal, and then second half for different reason we drop a little bit, but then the effort from the team was very, very good. In the last 2-3 games, for different reason, we conceded 2-3 goals. It's not possible. We need to be very good defensively in the way we have been for most part of last season, and with the clean sheet and 3 points, it's a nice feeling.
Enzo Maresca there, moments of the night. It can be from the game you watched at Stamford Bridge, gents, or any of the other games.
Well, from the game that I commentated on, I just, the moment that really stood out for me, Chelsea have so much young talent, and when Estevao came on the pitch and then plucked the ball out of the sky, and as I think Alvaro used the expression, like there was Velcro on his feet. Just so good to see such great young talent flourishing on a stage like this.
I'm going to stay with Victor Osimhen and Galatasaray. Yeah, it's a very important win for Turkish football and Galatasaray in particular.
Super result for them, as it was for many across Europe on this Champions League Tuesday. Alvaro, Richard, thank you very much for your company. We do it all over again on Wednesday when we have Match Day Live back on air from 8:45 CEST with full commentary of Barcelona against Paris Saint-Germain, as well as the goals as they go in from the rest of the games across Europe. Don't forget to download the official Champions League podcast. But until then, from myself, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.